All right, the DMV. Okay. You know the DMV?
I'm familiar with the DMV, okay. Yeah.
You know how everyone hates the DMV?
Yeah.
They do nothing to go against the natural born hate everyone has in their heart for the DMV. They only add to the hate. I went in today. I took an hour off of work because I had to go to the DMV, and every time I go to the DMV, something is wrong. Every time I'm either missing something, they have too much shit going on, something is going wrong, right? So I go in there, I triple check that I have everything I need because to renew my driver's license and all that stuff. I go there and I see a sign on the door that says you can't renew driver's license after X time or whatever. And I was after that time, and there was no explanation. No explanation. It just, you just can't. And so I go back in my car and I'm just like, you know, it's just always something with the fucking DMV, dude. So that's my goddamn tale for the day.
Maybe I'm an anomaly, but I've got nothing negative to say.
Welcome to Bad Bandmates.
Welcome to Bad Blamblades.
Blamblades.
Welcome to Fad Bandmates.
Welcome to Fat Bandmates with a PH.
Welcome to Bad Fan. I already said that one. Did I say bad fan blades?
I wasn't paying attention. Let's move on. Today is a special day. We're listening to one of the artists, musicians that personally I am not a fan of, but they are a highly regarded, highly praised, I would say. Maybe not so much nowadays, but you know, they have their stands, if you will. We're listening to Eminem. And yeah, we're hearing the album Marshall Mathers LP.
Right, which means loss prevention.
That's right. Not long play, loss right. prevention.
Right.
Is it long play? Is that LP?
I don't know. Should I Google it?
Nope. So
I'm going to Google it.
Okay. So we're listening to Marshall Mathers LP. Josh, okay, so
it stands for long playing.
Yeah, see, I'm smart. Josh and I have been wanting to do an Eminem album for a while, I think.
Mostly Nate.
For discussion purposes, because here's the deal. It's undeniable that he's been a part of some great music, and he's been involved with great people in the, you know, rap scene. Dr. Dre, you know, I mean, being namely number one, you know. And I just am not a fan of him. Music-wise, you know. Sorry if I sound stuffy, by the way. I am, so.
There's no moisture.
There's no moisture in the house.
We don't live in Florida.
That's right. I don't walk outside and immediately sweat my ass off. So we're listening to Eminem. And
what if people's butts actually fell off?
Oh, dude.
They were sweating so much. They're like, my butt fell off like 4 blocks ago. We got to go back.
You got to go pick it up. That is what happened to me in Florida. My butt fell right off. Couldn't even sit on a seat. I just slid right onto the floor. You know. Mm-hmm.
Snake man.
Yeah, I was the snake man. So, Marshall Mathers LP. This is a 2000 album.
Yeah. Hey, I want to lay this out in advance. I don't know what your plan was, Nate. I do not want to go track by track.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't.
I honestly feel, I feel like most of this could be summed up fairly simply anyways.
Sure.
And maybe I'll touch on some highlights and mostly some lowlights. I'll put it that way. So for a while, Josh and I have been wanting to do an Eminem discussion, or at least something, because, which I think I went into like a couple episodes ago. I was just like, fuck Eminem, he sucks. Oh yeah, we were talking about Stepdad, that fucking song.
Yep, and that song sucks. It's fucking bad.
It does, it does. Okay. So we now are discussing Eminem, and this was the album that you felt we should do, right?
Yeah, see, this is tough, because there isn't like a full album of Eminem's that I'm like, every song is amazing. There's not. There's just not. This one was, I would say, the most highly praised. I think it was on the top of the Billboard charts for something crazy, like 63 weeks.
I would say this one and the one before
it are probably what he's most known for, or was, back at the height of his fame. I don't know what the fuck people see or like look at him for, and I don't know. Now.
You would consider yourself a fan, or at least of a certain era of Eminem.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this like, okay, so why?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I was prepared for that question. I hate that question, and I try to avoid it. And the reason is, it's a very open-ended.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just what that question is doing, and I try to avoid this when I listen to bands that you don't like too. I don't like that question because it's just asking for pushback. So I'm going to decline answering that.
Okay. So what I think, okay, so I'll put it like this. The main reason why I do not like Eminem, it's not because of his skill. It's not because of his, like, the beats he raps over or anything like that. I think a good majority of why I don't like him is specifically his lyrics. And
I can see that.
And, okay, so we're specifically examining this one LP, you know, this one LP. But, like, if we break it up into chunks, like his career, his early stuff was all this, like, I'm gonna fucking stab you, I'll kill you, shit, I'll
Vicodin,
yeah, like drugs, like, very like I get it, and it's very edgy, and it's like, and even the last song on this album, like, he talks about. We're going up to Criminal on the album. There's like reissues and remasters with more, but like, we're not going to do track by track because it's just, yeah. But his lyrics overall, like early on, it was just this like death and destruction, hate everyone, edgy shit, right? And that's so fucking like, eh. Like you can do certain stuff like that and you can be. And I can be okay with it, but every fucking song on this goddamn record, he has some fucking line where it's like, I ripped the head off a kitty cat and stuffed it into someone's mailbox at 13. And it's like, come on, dude. Like,
yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I don't, I've never, I, there's bits and pieces, like on this album, the song Kim, it's not a good song.
No.
And it's about him murdering his wife. However, as an artistic standpoint, content aside, it plays as a skit, more or less. And like that's it's creative, but it's, I think this is classified as horrorcore.
Yeah.
And that's the point. But you also have to take into consideration like the time frame, which is, it's garbage. It's all garbage. The content is garbage. There are bits and pieces lyrically that are good. but they're very few and far between. And but you also in the time frame though, what you're looking at is you're looking at the boy bands or Britney Spears, the pop pops, or you're looking at Limp Bizkit, which is shock value, Eminem, which is shock value, Marilyn Manson, which is shock value. So it really, in the 2000s, I don't know why the fuck he's doing it now, but in the 2000s, it really, like, of course this is what sold.
I think for me, like, especially getting into hip-hop, of course it was always, like, the beats that got me in first, and I've mentioned that a couple times. Jedi Mind Tricks was the first group that I ever, like, was like, oh, okay, this is fucking sick. But then if you look at Jedi Mind Tricks lyrics, they're like on the same wavelength as this, like very, very like murderous and very filled with just malice and like hate and like, but for some reason, like that didn't necessarily bother me that much. I don't know why. Like I just was like, obviously, I wasn't okay with the lyrics. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I was okay with that because of like just the quality of the records and stuff like that. Which I've mentioned before, Visions of Gandhi has some of the dopest hip hop tracks, like samples, and that's the record that got me into hip hop, basically. Which maybe we should do one day, or at least discuss it a little bit. But this is just like, I don't know, like there's something, there's like, it's something that's just like too angsty for me versus like,
right?
versus like maybe a, I don't know, some sort of grounding on other artists that have done this, like, or like maybe with a hint of satire for like something like Limp Bizkit, like I pack a chainsaw, I'll skin your ass raw. Like that's funny, but like, I mean, they're trying to be hard, but like, it's also just kind of like, but that's kind of goofy and silly. Even if you were to look back at the time, I mean, I'm sure people were like, oh, that's fucking edgy. And then he says like, I'll break your face or whatever. And it's like, I don't know why I'm like okay with that, but then I listen to Eminem, who has virtually similar lyrics, and I'm just like, I hate this.
I would argue that he's a little more abrasive.
He's more abrasive. That's for sure. But like, I think what it is like, I don't know. It might just be because he's like calling out specific people, and you know, these are like real people for the most part, you know? I mean, like, especially Kim, like that song, I actually stopped it right after the first, like, whatever, 20 seconds. I was like,
yeah, it's not good. It's not good to listen through.
No, I was like, I get it. I get what the fuck he's trying to do, and I'm just like, I will never listen to this song ever. Like, I was like, this, this actually hurts me. Like, which you could argue, well, that's the point, you know? I mean, that's, you know, you could argue that easily, but I'm just like, but it's 6 minutes of him just fucking screaming, dude, at Kim and then murdering her. Like, and it's like, I don't want to hear that.
It's not good. And that's the shock value stuff. That's what his career was built off of in the beginning.
Right. And I get that, right? I'm just like not about this shock factor. Like I just his version of it anyways. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I agree with that. And it's also about, maybe this isn't the greatest reference, but like, actually I have a couple. One that it's not the same content, but it's something I don't identify with, and I certainly don't care about what they're saying at all. Like the Freddie Gibbs album that you gave us. Everything was about cocaine.
Yeah.
Everything. But I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck what you're saying. I like the way that you're saying it, and I like the music behind what you're saying. I don't really give a shit what you're saying. Another thing, I'm sure this is for you, is you know that song? Nate showed me a video recently of a professional opera singer reacting to a song.
Yeah.
There's no way that he was making dead pig noises, right? But like to people that like that song, it doesn't fucking matter what he's saying. I'm sure, what's that band that you told me about, like Shit Piss Blood or something? You told me that there's just like this outrageous band name and all they talk about it. I looked it up at one point. They had like dead babies on their cover of their album and whatnot.
I'm thinking about like probably five different bands that are like going through. But,
so, I mean, that's that same,
right,
in quotes, horrorcore shit. It's just, yeah, if you don't like that style, and not that you don't like this style of music, but if you're not interested in that person to begin with, you're not going to move past that.
Right.
But for me, to go back to your question of why, I don't give a fuck what he's saying on the songs that I think that are good.
Okay.
I think phonetically, he's incredibly talented, right? Like, he's good. He's fucking good. And I do think that his tonally, I think his voice is just built to be in front of a microphone. I think he's got, yeah, a really, like, he can be soft and pretty or just incredibly yelling and abrasive. And it's like, it has a very universal voice. And so I don't get shit out of the lyrics because there's not anything to get out of it, whether it's, yeah, satire or whether he really wants to kill Kim. I guess it's his prerogative. As a youngster, I certainly didn't fucking notice that. I listened to, like, yeah, what's the song on this album? Let me find it quick. The one that goes, "That's why they call me Slim Shady." I don't know what song it is.
Oh, yeah.
Is it "I'm Back"? "I'm Back." It's called "I'm Back." It's,
yeah,
like,
yes,
number
it is,
10,
yeah,
on it. But, like, that's a catchy little rhythm where he's riding along with the bass and it's like running back and forth in your ears with like this telephone voice. And it's the cute little, I guess it would be Dr. Dre, like, production on it, the West Coast production that really always caught my attention. And then I just think that much like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Exhibit and all these people that he has featured on this album that are in that little world that they live in, their voices are just, it doesn't matter what you're saying to me.
Okay.
I like the way that you're saying it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know what? And I mean, okay. So obviously we got to touch on production of this. Most of it was done by Dr. Dre. Most of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. There were like four songs or three songs that he didn't touch. And I'd like to know the logistics of that.
Yeah, right.
Why didn't you want to?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
It's your little pet bird. Why don't you want them all?
Right. Which the production on this is great. Fantastic. Yeah. I weirdly think, though, that it might be, okay, and maybe I'm totally, obviously this is, everybody's ear is different, but like his voice and that, he's from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Right?
I don't know if he's from there, but he lived there. They recorded this album in Detroit.
Okay. Let's say he's from Detroit.
That's where Mom's Spaghetti is.
I feel like everybody's going to be like, of course he's from fucking Detroit, idiots.
Yeah, whatever, well, fuck dude. You. I don't know where he was born.
Whatever. So he's from Detroit, and like that, Dr. Dre's sound is like so West Coast. And like,
yeah.
And the West Coast style, especially like at this time, was like very, very like smooth, and like it wasn't like a necessarily abrasive, you know, yeah, or in your face, right? That was more of like an East Coast, like New York style, right? And so it's this weird, like, almost clashing elements to me that maybe I just, like, I can't get over it sometimes. And obviously not everything is done by Dr. Dre, even in his later catalog and stuff like that. But there's much more of a melding of sounds now and all that stuff. But I don't know. It's just like this weird, like, separation where I'm just like, man, I wish like Snoop Dogg was on this, or like or I wish like Dr. Dre was rapping over his own beat, you know, or like something like that. Not to sound like elitist or anything. It's just like, to me, it's like my ear just kind of like has a clash. Like, I don't know what it is, but like the production is great, but then it's like I hear Eminem rapping over it and it's just like all this like, I'm going to murder you and all of your kids and watch me do it. And like, it's just like, ugh, man,
it's
it's
probably more stylistic in his, for lack of a weirder way of saying it, rhyming patterns.
Yes.
It's very punchy and like in and out. Right. And it's like, if he needs to split a word in half in order to make that phrase match with the one before it, he'll do that. And that is not, that's not a West Coast thing. Like Snoop Dogg is more, he would be more apt to skip a bar or skip like part of a measure in order to like get back on track with where he was or something. Whereas Eminem's style is he's going to poke and pinch until it fits. But
yeah,
I guess I like it musically because I noticed the West Coast style or the Dr. Dre style or however you want to classify it, really in the bass in just about every song. I always hear it in that he's out in most of these songs. He has that funky ass West Coast bass line. And I fucking love that.
So great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I would love to just have an instrumental of this album. Like, give me the instrumentals. I would listen to this over and over.
Give me a fucking rewrite where you don't have a song specifically about killing your wife and your body out of the woods and what dried blood looks like on your shirt. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But it's so confusing because he'll do that, but then he'll come in with like just a verse that is so well written.
Yeah.
And like so honest, and that's another thing, speaking of honesty, it's emotion too in his delivery. There's not a lot of people that can give this kind of delivery. Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, those types of people, they can. Not a lot of people can put this kind of emotion into whatever feeling they're trying to put out.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking solid.
Right. Like, yeah, you feel, yeah. I mean, it's mostly lyrics that I just cannot get past. And like, I recognize the artistry and he was, I don't know, good
was.
At what, he, at, you know, at rap, you know, he's, obviously, I don't know. He's just he's held in such a high regard for a reason, and so you know, I give him his props. Obviously, I just this is what I wrote. So, so the first song was Public Service Announcement, which is an intro, and it just was like, it was like, oh, this angsty shit, and then it goes into Kill You, which. Yeah. Oh, okay. I guess that's what we're in for. First of all, that song.
And it's a horrible song.
Oh, it is. And, dude.
But, like, the melody behind it is good.
Right. And the other thing, though, is I don't know if you noticed this, and I know we're not really going so track by track, but I'm going to hit on some of the stuff I wrote down here and there. Like, that song. Right away, dude, the amount of times that it did the like in that song
was a lot.
It was way too much, dude. Just enough.
It was a lot. But in 2000, and this is something that I admire about this album, if you listen to a Mac Miller album, just as a for instance, just because I had him on before this, he does a lot of those additives in the background. Kendrick Lamar has quite a bit too. There's a lot of hip hop albums where they have not a call and response, but it sort of adds on to the point of what they're saying. Like, if you didn't get my emotion before, what I'm putting in your ear is doing it. And I don't want to say he's a pioneer, because other people have done this, but he really brought that sort of thing to mainstream, I would say.
Sure.
To, like, the TRL world and the fucking pop world. And now everybody and their mom is adding in, maybe not but some kind of something to, like, add to emotion. Is it overdone? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, you can see that in, which I think, okay, this is off the top of my head, so, like, don't, you know, don't kill me, Eminem, even though you say you'll kill you. I think that the Griselda crew, like the West Side Gun and man, I'm blanking on all their names, but like I think they're like signed with Eminem, and they do that shit all the time. Like they each have their own kind of specific like ad lib or like something, like I don't know what to call it really, just like this kind of like noise that they do mm-hmm. in like a lot of their songs. And so yeah, I mean, maybe Eminem is just like, yo, do that do again, you know, or whatever. Like he's so but okay, we have to talk about Stan, because
oh dude, I was just looking at it and I can't not read featuring dildo. I can't. It always looks like I always read dildo.
Yeah.
I know it's not. I know it was on the fucking song. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Stan featuring dildo. What do you... Okay. Obviously from like a 2000s standpoint. You know, this is an impactful song, right? Obviously. That I think that maybe... I don't know. I'm trying to think, and I was trying to think of this beforehand, of, like, how big of an impact this song made culturally and is still maybe even relevant today. Where it's, like... I don't know. First of all, throughout this record, and it's surprising to me that Stan was like kind of at the top of the record, you know, like right towards the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's mostly, I feel like it's because of all the flack that he got from like his album before, Slim Shady. And he touches on later in Criminal, where people are like, are you really talking about like killing all these people and like doing all this stuff? And it's also mentioned again. I think, let me see. There's another song. Fuck, can't find it right now. Who Knew? Which is like right after, pretty much. Where it's all these people who are like saying, oh, you made this person, you know, kill themselves or like, you know, do something else or, you know, terrible, yeah, terrible
it's
things.
It's that whole Marilyn Manson's music helped with Columbine thing.
Right, right.
Which I actually think he touches on that exact subject.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken.
And that's, I mean, you're always going to have the kind of like, religious fanatics and stuff like that basically are, I mean, it happened in like the 80s with like Metallica and like Judas Priest and stuff like that, you know. I mean, it happened with probably, I feel like it happened with Black Sabbath even back further. So like, you know, you're always going to get those people, and there's always going to be someone who like does something terrible, and then they're like, we found Eminem CDs in his car, like, and it's like, fuck it, stop. Like, it's the same thing with, like, with video games and, like, them, mm-hmm. you know, like, look,
This is all an opinion, by the way, so if you don't agree.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, no, exactly. Like, the thing is, like, obviously having this, and truth be told, like, listening to this album, like, was pretty taxing on me. Mentally. Sure. And I could definitely see someone being an impressionable youth and being like, well, Eminem said he did this, so like, but like, also at the same time, and I mean, he kind of touches on it in Stan, is like, in like a not necessarily so great way, but basically is just like, hey, if you're thinking about doing these things, you need to go see help, you know. It's like,
yeah, there's a lot of points on this album where there's like a, if you're going to look for a deeper meaning and weed through all of the lyrical bullshit, which there's a fucking lot.
Yeah.
The deeper meaning, I think, anyway, is like, get, like, don't put us on these fucking pedestals like we're influencing your life in any way. Like, we're entertaining you.
Yep.
Nothing we're saying is really of any value to you.
Right.
And I think that's why he, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, because he says a lot of things that, like, I don't agree with. Right? But, like, I played Grand Theft Auto as a kid. Right?
Right.
That's not any fucking better or worse than this. It's horrible.
Right.
It's a horrible game. But it's all about who you're, I don't know. We've talked about this before. I have a weird, maybe a weird view compared to other people of the separating art from the artist kind of thing. Like, just because he's talking about doing something doesn't mean that I'm going to go do it because I listened to it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think that, you know, obviously there's some, like, subconscious things that if you, you know, if you feed your brain with certain things, then eventually, you know, it's like, that's the way your brain's going to think. You know, it kind of, you know, carves that certain pathway of thinking, and it's like, oh, well, you know, but I don't know. It's very nuanced, and I what I'm trying to say is it's not as black and white as, like, you listened to Eminem, so that's why you did XYZ, you know?
Right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
It's simply not that simple, and if it was, there would have been millions of kids. Millions doing the same thing, and there simply wasn't.
Yeah.
Know?
And yeah.
But it also begs the question, like, is this too far for public ears? You know, like, where does freedom of speech become hate speech? If you could make a song where you're reenacting the way that you would or want to kill your wife, is that too much?
I think that in some cases, yeah.
Yeah. But then at that rate, and I'm going to go back to this reference, the people that made Grand Theft Auto should be in fucking prison.
Yeah, right.
They
exactly.
Should be. That yeah. Whole game is about killing pedestrians.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Nobody does the missions. Fuck off. Nobody's playing the game. You're putting right. In a cheat code, getting a helicopter, jumping out, and then machine gunning people. It's horrible.
Right. So I think, though, that, like, there is a bit of a thread throughout this album that I kind of pulled from. A lot of it is just, like, you know, obviously this anger and this angst and stuff like that. But then ultimately, like, Eminem is just like, but I never, like, wanted this shit. You know, I would, like, this was, you guys put me in this place. I didn't know yeah. This was going to happen. Like, you know, I didn't know I was going to reach this height. You know, I was just saying shit, and, like, this is like what I grew up in. And this is, like, what I'm going to rap about. And, like, this is, it's not necessarily like, I did this and you should do this. It's a, this is just what I'm rapping about, you know? And so I get it. And there is a thread, like, throughout the album of that. It's just, like, almost 20 songs, like, 70 minutes long or whatever, of just kind of the same shit, like, got taxing after, like, 3 songs. Like, I don't know. It just, I don't know. But Stan, I mean, it's pretty impactful, like, obviously.
There's a couple pieces on this that I can't go back to 2000 and recollect how popular that was, but there's a couple, whether it's verses or full songs, that I feel like are really underrated for impactfulness or, like, meaningfulness of the actual art that was made.
Yeah.
That song, I think, is one of them.
Yep.
On the album. That just, I don't know if it, I think that what got more attention was the fact that he used slurs to define homosexuals in his album a fucking lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then he performed this song on a big stage with
Elton John.
The fuck's his name? Elton John. Yeah. But that wasn't really about this song, but, like, that song is, I don't know if you are agreeing with this or not, but I feel like out of this whole album, like, that song is a fucking, that's a really great piece of work.
Yes.
Like, it's a really well-written story. And, like, that's the little bit of genius that you get. But then you get the fucking... The next thing is the Paul skit. I'm like, why the fuck are these little skits in here? Stop it.
Dude, yeah.
It's not funny. Maybe it was funny in 2000. Maybe that was, like, super edgy and,
exactly.
like, opposite of NSYNC, but it did not age well.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, we could talk about the skits a little bit. I mean, there's just a handful, right? And... Yeah, this. I think what it is like you look at it as the whole piece of art, right? The whole album. So, like, you get this, like, public service announcement, like, oh, yeah, fuck you, sue me, you know, shit. And then it goes right into Kill You, which is all about just his thoughts and hopes and dreams of killing you. And then, and like. But then he hits you with Stan, and it's like, it's almost like Kill You, and the public service announcement in Kill You is like a continuation from Slim Shady or whatever was before, and and like the edginess and like what probably the media was like really harping on him for and stuff like that, and then like you get this like. Song Stan about just this guy who idolizes Eminem and like wants to do everything he's doing and like you know is following in his footsteps, eventually ends up really terrible, and then like you know Eminem is responding to him in the letter and it's and then like you hit this Paul skit and it's like yeah I just like heard the record and like never mind. You know, and it's like, I think if you look at it like someone is like, oh, well, we shouldn't have a song like this or whatever. Because then right after that, you get Who Knew and then the Steve Berman skit or whatever, which is like a record exec or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's his. Isn't it his manager or his?
Sure.
I don't fucking remember. I used to know this information.
Yeah, somebody who's like overseeing him, you know, like a manager or something like that. Basically is like, you can't do this shit. You can't like, you know, they told me to shove a record up my ass. You know, like, and I think it's just, again, skits are so unnecessary, but I think if you're kind of looking at it through the arc of like the whole thing, like, it kind of makes sense, but at the same time, we don't need it, you know?
No, you don't need it, but in 2000 when... Because now if somebody put out an album and they were... Maybe not to this extent, but if they put out a song that had any kind of content like this without, like, the slurs and whatnot...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, the murder kind of stuff, like, it would be brushed off because we're desensitized. But in 2000 when this came out, like, if he didn't put these skits in... Motherfucker probably would have been arrested.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because that's what separates it from, like, okay, it's a little bit of comedy. It's not serious.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it's just, it's fucking stupid. Can I tell you my favorite part on this album?
Sure.
I just got to it. There's a song called Remember Me.
Uh-huh.
And it's a horrible song.
Terrible.
It's
I hate
terrible.
It.
It's an awful, awful song. That's not the song I want to talk about. I'm looking for Amityville, which is another not a very good song.
Yes.
But his delivery on his verse in that song, on the last, I think it's like the last verse on it, this is like a quality thing that I really look for. There's such good compression quality on his voice because he's yelling, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's scratchy and it's fucking gross sounding, but it's so cleaned up and so compressed that I love listening to it. I don't know what he's talking about, and I just don't really give a shit, but it's one of my favorite moments on the album because the production value on it, like on his vocals blended in with the music, is so beautiful to me. It's so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the song itself, I don't know what it's about. I don't really. There's a lot of songs actually on here that I don't necessarily like, but I can pick. This is actually one of the. Let's just really dive in. I still go back to his early music for compression on vocals to try to emulate it.
Okay.
Because I love the way his vocals are compressed, so you really get like those sounds, And they're like, they're present, but it's not like popping. And it's just the compression on his vocals is it's really clean. And I just think it's really well done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it sounded great, right? We can't deny that fact. And again, I mean, most of that's got to be Dr. Dre's production and stuff like that too. And yeah, I mean, it's great. So let's hit on an iconic track, the Real Slim Shady.
I hate that song.
Okay, interesting.
Why is it a horrible song. It's just not a... I get why it's popular, because it's a skit and it's a play on what was popular at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's got drugs, which he was getting famous for. It was talking about drugs. It's got rips on, like, fucking... Is Moby in that one, I think? Talks about Moby in it.
On Real Slim Shady?
He talks about Moby.
Maybe. I don't, he talks so much shit on so many people.
But it's about everyone. He talks about Fred Durst, Christina Aguilera, Carson Daly. Like, no shit that song got popular. The video was, I can remember coming home and watching TRL and seeing that video. It was just, it's not a song. I don't generally gravitate towards the huge hits of artists.
Sure.
And like, if I had to pick out one that's like, well, this is why he's where he's at. This is probably the song, and I don't fucking like it.
Okay. Interesting.
It's just not a good song. Musically, I think it's fucking stupid. It sounds like a McDonald's commercial.
I don't know where you're getting that, but sure.
I don't know. Maybe not McDonald's, but it sounds like it would be in a commercial, like somebody trying to sell me something. That little accordion piano joint that they have.
Like a harpsichord, fucking, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good.
I don't mind that track. You know, I don't. I think that. Look, it's catchy in the hook, and the verses have, yeah, like you said, just a lot of famous people and a lot of disses being thrown out. Plus, I think it displays a lot of his, like, his talent with rapping. Like, there's a lot of different things he does to his to break up his raps and his rhymes, and, you know, show you how fast he can go at certain points. And here's the weird thing about that song that always, this is the only thing that bothers me about that song, and I don't know why, and maybe not bothers is the right word, but like, I just am like, what is this line? Like, what is this? Is when he says, and Dr. Dre said, nothing, you idiot. Dr. Dre's dead. He's locked dead and locked in my basement. And like, I'm like, did he make this song? He made it. Like,
In the video, he puts like a milk carton in the fridge and it has a missing person thing.
Sure.
It's Dr. Dre on it. I don't understand the bit. Maybe it was of the time. Also, just to go back on what I said, if you'd have asked me 20 years ago, 2 years after the song came out, if I like the song, yeah. I'm realizing now that I don't like it because it's 22 years old and I've heard it a million fucking times.
Yeah. I think objectively, though, it's, you know, it's got it's
a perfectly written song.
It's great. Yeah, it is. Okay, so I think it's catchy and I think he's on his rappity rap shit, you know, and I think it worked perfectly. Yeah, ribbity rips. I gotta talk about two more things, and then I'm like pretty good on this album. The song Marshall Mathers, another song about like how he doesn't really want to be famous and like all this other stuff. He does a rendition of the LFO song Summer Girl. And there, I don't know if you caught that, but like, he just did it like once too. It was like that. LFO has a song called Summer Girl. First of all, that track fucking rips, dude. If you think that song doesn't rip, dude, you're lying to yourself. New Kids on the Block had a lot of hits. Dude, so good. But he did a rip on it. I was like, oh, dude, I love that. Like, I love little catches like that. That makes me happy. But the fucking part of this song, dude, were the insane Clown Posse disses that he did on it. Dude, okay. of course, looking at a 2022 lens, not good. Just like, you know, it's not PC, you know, the stuff he's saying. Yeah. But, like, it caught me so off guard, his disses against them, that I burst out laughing. I did. And then, apparently, like, okay. And I don't know if... he obviously included it because someone called him this at one point, and I'm assuming it was either Violent J or, you know, someone else in the Insane Clown Posse. But he's... after he's done dissing them, then he says, "Slim anus? Yeah, I'm slim anus," because, you know, and he talks about how he's, you know, he doesn't have butt sex on himself. Mm-hmm. Dude laughed out loud, dude. I was like, these 2000s beef was just so interesting.
Dude, they're insane. Fucking Eminem versus fucking Fred Durst and Violent J.
Yeah.
And what then, a wild time to be alive.
And then just calling someone, "Hey, yo, Slim Shady. Hey, how about Slim Anus?" You know, like,
that's so good.
Dude, are you kidding me? I can think of probably four other things that would just, like, be better than that. But at the same time, they wouldn't be better than that. Slim Anus is perfect. So
I'm glad you like that, because that's another high point of the album, is the beefs. Like, they aged, but did they though? Because it's still fucking hilarious.
Right, right.
If anything, it's gone. You know what? It's just like Limp Bizkit. It aged into satire, and I fucking love it. Yes. I'm here for it.
Yes, exactly. And then, dude. This again with the skits, but the Ken Keniff skit or whatever.
Stupid.
Stop.
Yeah, stupid. Don't get it. Not funny.
I get it. You're trying to be like, you diss the Insane Clown Posse, but also apparently I was reading up. I was like, who is this? Who is Ken Keniff? Mm-hmm. Apparently they're like maybe a real person or maybe not. I don't fucking know.
I Googled it too. I couldn't get a vibe.
But like apparently this character has shown up in a couple of Eminem LPs and stuff, but, okay. And last thing for me personally, Bitch Please 2 is without a doubt one of my top, I would say realistically top 50 like hip-hop songs of all time, like in the top 50. I've been listening to this song in particular for like a long time. Like,
yeah, dude,
it is so fucking good.
It's so good.
And
fucking Nate Dogg as, dude, the hook in between God. It. Oh my God, dude. So good.
Okay, if you haven't listened to this album, I mean, you know, you certainly can. But definitely
get ready to skip around a bit.
But you might need to skip around a bit. Definitely listen to Bitch Please 2. Where is Bitch Please 1? I don't know. I think it's on another. Yeah. I think it's on an Exhibit album or something. I don't know. Whatever. But
I've never bought an Exhibit album.
No, and that's the thing. I actually think his verse on this is
he's so good.
Is the best. I think.
Yeah.
Dude, he says a line in here, and let me pull it up. Let me just really quickly pull it up, and you can edit out me searching. Also, oh, so I can breathe.
While you're looking that up, off topic, Snoop Dogg's verse in this.
So good.
You're better than that. He had some parts where it's, what are, dude, you doing?
It's so good to me, and this is why.
I love everything about it, but he has a lull, and I'm like, oh no.
It is. You forget. It's so, okay, look. Look, it's not the best thing he's ever done in his life, right? But he has, I love the way that his verse basically just kind of like, he kind of almost just like trails off. Like it's like,
dude, it starts off so strong and then he just like forgets and he's like, same.
Yeah.
Bang, bang.
He goes like, hit and run. This is Snoop Dogg's verse. He goes, hit and run, get it done. Get the fun, split and run. Got about 50 guns, and I love all of them the same. Bang, bang. Damn, baby girl, what's your name? I forgot. What'd you say it was? I'm buzzed. Hanging in the club with my nephew Eminem. What up, cuz? The great white American hope. Done hooked up with the king of the motherfucking West Coast, baby. Dude, are you kidding me? Dude.
There's only one person that could write that as a verse. Start off that strong in the beginning and then just seemingly forget what the fuck he's doing as he's going. It, only Snoop Dogg can do that. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Right. Just like the way he goes, like, he's just like talking shit. Like, he's like, oh, we're doing a hit and run. Get it done. Get the fun. Split and run. Look, I got about 50 guns and I love all of them the same. Damn, baby girl, what's your name? I forgot. What'd you say it was? Dude, I'm buzzed, dude. And like, that's the best part. That's the best part, because it just is like he's trailing off, dude. Like, he's smoked too much weed, and he's just kind of like going.
He's
like,
just Snoop Dogging it.
He's going off, you know. That's why I love that. I love Snoop Dogg's verse. I love everyone's verse on this.
And I love everything that Snoop Dogg does,
dude. Same.
I just want to put that out there.
But Exhibit's verse. Oh. Exhibit's verse. He has a. It's honestly one of the fucking hardest verses ever. He goes, let me see. I got to find it. Fuck. I can't find it, but,
I have the lyrics in front of me.
You
know
what?
You want me to read them
to you? No, I'm good. I'm good. But all that to say, I think I can't really read off most of Exhibit's, I can't, you know, read off some of it or whatever, but like, it's just a hard verse. Like, he's just, it's so, it goes, dude. And
yeah, dude. And Exhibit's one of those people that didn't get enough credit for how fucking good he was. I don't know if he's still made, but like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it is. And then Eminem comes in and, I noticed something. So he says, oh no, big slim dog, 80-pound balls, dick 6-inch long. Like, okay, so that's a bold way to start off one of your verses. I think it's a bold move to like talk about how big your balls are, but not your. But not your penis, in the rap world, especially. Like,
dude, but like 6 inches, give me 3 of those. You know what I mean?
Stop. Okay.
No dick jokes today.
But you know what I noticed is that, okay, so you know he talks about his balls on that one, and then, under the wait, it was he talked about his big, it was on Criminal, where he talked about, he even mentions how small his dick is and how big his balls are.
Yeah. He makes that joke on other albums too. He's a big fan of his balls and he's not happy with his penis.
Yeah. Dude, you gotta be happy. Yeah. You gotta be happy.
You go, yeah.
Hey, Eminem, I mean, just work with what you got, dude, you know? I mean, you got big balls, I guess, probably.
80 pounds,
which is a lot. Like, is that per ball, or is that just a total, in total?
He said 80-pound balls.
Yeah, so like 40 each, yeah.
One might be less.
Sure. Yeah, that's
true.
You
always have that low hanger.
Right. So, overall, listening to Eminem, I didn't gain any new knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I already know that like he is good at what he does, and I understand why people like him, right? But like at the same time, to me, there's just like way, way better. I don't know. There's just like better people that I've found across the years. And
For sure.
And so, and you could say that about anything, of course, but like Eminem never did it for me. Like, and I think the main thing is just his lyrical threats. And it's just like, you can only talk about killing people for so long before I'm just like, move on to a different subject. And you know what? Okay, so you mentioned Freddie Gibbs earlier. Mm-hmm. That's a what, 10-track album? Pretty sure. Something like that. It was shorter.
I don't fucking remember.
It was shorter. It was like around 30 minutes. Pretty short. And yeah, they were talking about cocaine. That's all they talked about, right? But like it's more digestible. The tracks were like 2 to 3 minutes long. There was nothing that overstayed its welcome. And this is very much of the time where every song was 5 minutes, right? And you had 20 track albums or like at least 12, you know, I get it. It's of its time, but it just never grabbed me the way that everybody's praise for Eminem, you know, it didn't feel warranted to me. And I don't know if it does still.
What I wanted was just to hear you say the words that you understand that he's talented.
Yeah, and of course. Did.
So I'm happy, because there was a time, I don't know if you remember, it was like a year ago, where you said that he wasn't talented. And I don't give a fuck if you like it or not, because a lot of what he says is stupid. I apparently don't listen to it for the lyrics at all. I listen to it for the compression on the vocals.
Sure.
And then the music in the background. But I was just so happy to hear you say that. I feel like I succeeded in life.
I just, okay, like, if I did say that, like, I did not mean it. Because I know he's talented. But, like, it's just, like, okay, even to move further into his career and stuff, like where he became this super fast rapper too, like it's, admittedly that takes a lot of talent to do that.
Sure.
But like, if you're not really saying anything, I don't care how fast you're going. It's impressive the first time. And I'm like, wow, that's really fast. But then it's like, I'm not going to put on Rap God. You know,
I absolutely agree with that. I don't understand that at all. Even if you are saying something, like Twista, wasn't he one of the fastest rappers? I don't know what the fuck you're saying, and I don't care how fast you can talk. What caught me about like this album was just the way that everything was phonetically perfect, right?
Yeah.
He may not be saying anything of importance, but the way that he placed things and the way that he had rhythm, I guess, over the backing beat was impressive. But then you get into Rap God and it's like, shut up.
Right. And like stuff like that is cool on like a I guess you could call it like a posse cut of like a ton of people. Like Tech N9ne always has like the West Coast choppers or like the worldwide choppers or like the stuff like that, where it's like one song where it's like all these fast people and it's like, that's fine, you know, because it's like all these displays of talent and each person is like a little bit like, and it does take talent, but it's like, I'm not going to sit and put on Rap God all the time. Like
I hate people that do.
It was and they're wearing their Monster Energy hats or their Cookie Monster hats.
Their Fox jackets.
They're wearing only pajama bottoms, and they're DC shoes. And I'm like, I don't.
This is called being judgy.
Oh, very judgy. Yes,
but
and
also
I realize,
accurate.
But like, take a look in the mirror. If you're putting on Rap God all the time, that's what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're wearing. And so...
And you're probably making pho, but really it's just ramen and then you're boiling a couple eggs. That's not pho.
Look, you only use...
Axe body spray.
You only use Axe body spray. And you also just cook, you cook everything on like, you own, well, now the modern equivalent, I guess, would be just an air fryer. Everything is air fried for you.
You probably use a toaster to light your cigarettes before you run out the back door so your mom doesn't smell it.
Right. And we're talking in 2022 as well. So, like, we're yeah. If you're still rocking that stuff,
stop.
I mean, good for you, honestly. You know what you like and you stuck to it. There's more to life than Monster Energy. And,
is there?
And no, you know what? You're right.
I haven't fucking found it.
So that's a little discussion on Eminem. Marshall Mathers LP was kind of the backdrop for it, so we could kind of have some context to it.
He's, you know, talented. What maybe we'll do someday? I'm going to call my shots. Maybe someday I'll make you a playlist of songs that I like from his entire catalog. Okay. So that way you don't have to suffer through 18 tracks where it's like, well, I like half of a verse in this one song, but then you can skip 6 songs and 4 skits. And then there's another song that I like. Maybe we'll do that someday. And then I can just show you the things that I enjoy about it.
Right.
Maybe we'll do that.
I would be into that. Yes. So remember, Marshall Mathers LP, All That Matters is Bitch Please 2. And yeah, any other thoughts?
No.
Perfect. This is Bad Bandmates. I'm Fargor, son of North Decordor, and
I'm Josh.
Okay, thanks, bye.